Hi there, welcome to Shiloh Tabernacle London. We're located in Southeast London in Woolwich Dockyard, Block 1, Unit 9, Dockyard Industrial Estate, Woolwich Church Street, SC18 5PQ. Join us for our Bible study every Friday from 7:30 to 9 p.m. and you can't miss our Sunday services packed with prayer, vibrant worship and a powerful word. First service is 9 a.m. to 10:30, followed by our family service from 10:30 to 12:30. And now, for the best part, let's get into the Word.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much for coming and being in the house of the Lord. Those of you who are in the house today, and those of you who are joining us online at home, may the Lord richly touch you. I want to echo Minister Busula in wishing you all happy Father's Day. For those of us whose fathers have gone to be with the Lord, we remember them and salute them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. This is not just in memory, in celebrating the ones that are alive. We also commemorate the ones that are going to be with the Father, the ones that are in glory. Unless you are Jesus, you have a Father. Hallelujah. You originated from a father. We want to thank God for all the fathers. And as Minister Busula was saying, there is a cry for a father. God the Father is asking Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? Men are under attack. They were under attack from the beginning, right away from this word go, the enemy was looking for the man, because he knows when the man is in his position, then there's a covering, then the children are safe, the wife is safe. So he hits that, he hits the covering, he hits the man so that he can destabilize society. And right now, while we are suffering things because of lack of fathers. Hallelujah. But I wanna ask all the guys to stand on your feet, fathers in the house. Just wanna pray for you. Every father, wherever you are, yeah, stand on your feet. We need a special anointing this morning. We need a peculiar grace this morning to become fathers. Being a father is not easy. Being a father is not easy. Hallelujah. Being a dad is not easy. You need God. May we tap into the good Father and tap from his anointing so that we may be the good dads that he expects us to be. So lift up your hands where you are, dads, and those of you at home, lift up your hands, dads, in the house, please. Father, we lift up our hands as fathers, Lord. King of Kings, we thank you for entrusting us, oh Father, Lord, with that ministry of being a father, that responsibility of being a father. King of Kings, we pray that we will look unto you, the good Father, King of Kings, as you pour yourself into us, that we may be the men that you created us to be, the men to our wives, the men to our children, the fathers who are the sources and sustainers, my Father, Lord, of our children, that we may look after our families, that we may look after our communities in the to your glory, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Therefore, I'm praying that, King of Kings, you will equip every man, equip us with every resource that we need, spiritual and otherwise, my Father, Lord, King of Kings, that Heavenly Father, we may function in that office that you gave us. I cover these men in the blood of Jesus. Cover their minds in the blood of Jesus. Cover the works of their hands in the name of Jesus. Walk through them in the name above every name. And somebody shouts amen and amen. Let's appreciate the men. Make take your seats in the presence of the Most High God, guys. Hallelujah. Amen and amen and amen. Wow. Awesome, awesome. My dad is coming, I think, to 90. And I appreciate that man. Appreciate that man. Without him, I wouldn't be where I am. Without him, I wouldn't be doing what I am doing today. Hallelujah. But I want to thank God for him. Come and sit in my chair here. Come. Hallelujah. Come sit here. Thank you, Jesus. We are going to go into the Word of God. Hallelujah. Are you ready for the Word of God? Are you ready? I am ready. Tell your neighbor, I am ready. Now say it like you had breakfast. Come on, guys. I am ready. Hallelujah. Let's pray as we prepare to get into the word. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you the praise. We thank you, Father, Lord, for the entrance of your word brings light. Father, as we assemble at your table, Lord, we pray that you feed us, Lord. Feed us until we want no more. Open our understanding that we may understand what you want to communicate at such a time as this, my Father God. King of kings, that we may be the men, we may be the women, the boys and girls that you created us to be. Father, anoint my lips to speak. Take over my intellect. I get out of your way that you have your way. I decrease that you may increase. I cannot take in any glory in what you're about to do and what you're about to say. Father, once all is said and done, the glory will be yours. And we ask all this through the awesome name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And somebody shouts amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for him. Amen. It's nice to see you in the house of the Lord. It's nice to see you, Harriet. Harriet, you're welcome. We haven't seen you in a while. We love you. Amen, amen. Demodemos, we missed you for a few Sundays. Nice to see you. That must be Sarah. Yeah, you see, when somebody is putting on a mask, you have got to ask. You cannot just assume that they are the person you are seeing. You're welcome, Sarah. Nice to see you. Hallelujah. Amen and amen and amen. Yes, we have been talking about faithfulness. This month has been about faithfulness. And we have talked about being faithful. Last week, we talked about being faithful with the talents that God has given us. Every one of us here is talented. We established that. Everyone here is called. We established that. But what matters is, are you using that which you have been entrusted with? Hallelujah. And this morning, or this afternoon rather, I want to talk about stewarding the time of God, or stewarding God's time. We're talking about time. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Now you're going to have to answer amen. I know you don't want to, but you're going to do it anyway. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. We're talking about time. Somebody say time. The ancient Greeks had two words for time. One of them is chronos, and another one is kairos. Chronos. Today I forgot to put on my chronometer. Chronos. What is chronos? Chronos means, it signifies day-to-day time. What time is it here? And right now, it's about 10 minutes past 12. That is time. And it's I can see the seconds progressing. They are progressing in chronology. It is quantitative. Chronos is quantitative. It means it talks about every day. It talks about the mundane. It talks about the routine. But then the Greek also had that word kairos. Kairos means the right or critical or opportune moment. It signifies an opportune time for action. Kairos speaks of an appointed time in the purpose of God. Things like sowing time, things like harvest time. Kairos speaks of a pregnant or special time, a season that is pregnant with stuff. And the plural for kairos is kairoi, which means times. In Acts chapter 1, verse 6 to 7, the apostles begin to ask Jesus, because for them they were obsessed by the fact that he had come to take over the Roman Empire. They thought he had come to restore a physical kingdom. So they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Even after he has numerously told them, on numerous occasions told them that he has come to establish the kingdom of God. For them, they thought he had come to overrun the Romans and give them their rulership. In verse 7, he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. Hallelujah. So, we need to be custodians of God's time. We need to make time count. Firstly, we need to know that time is not ours. Just like Minister Busula was telling us, your life is not your own. Hallelujah. Even the time is not ours. That's why I said we need to be good custodians of whose time? God's time. Yesterday, I was with a certain gentleman, and he spoke something and said, you know what? As long as God has still lent me these hands and legs, I will serve him. That was a profound statement. Everything you have is lent to you by God. Do you understand? The eyes you have, they are just lent to you. The limbs I have, they're just lent to me. The time is lent to you. You have no time. I have no time. I have no control over time. Time has got its owner. The one who created it and who created time, God created time. God created time. He lives out of time and therefore owns it. In heaven, it's not 12 past 12. Even here on earth, in Africa, it's not 12 past 12. Even just in Europe here, it's not 12 past 12. Do you understand? We are in our time, which we as human beings, you know, have quantified. But God is out of this time. He's not in our time. That's why when you think it is too late for him, it's not yet too late. Because he's working on his time. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 1 verse 14 to 18. We'll be reading a series of scriptures today. And the Bible says, and God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. He's beginning to create time. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. In this statement, in this scripture, is encapsulated both the chronos and the kairos. Hallelujah. The seasons and the days and the years. It says, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And so it was. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1. The preacher speaks about time. He says, for everything there is a kairos. For everything there is a what? A season. Some of us, this is your season. You know, at times you look at another person and you want to be like them. Though they are prospering, things are going on for well for them. That is their season. Your season is coming. Hallelujah. In this season in which we are, there are people who are in a season of bereavement. And we want to pause this afternoon to commiserate with every family that has lost a relative during this pandemic. In the UK, every family, you may be watching, you know, right now, and you have been bereaved. We pray comfort over you in the name of Jesus. For those of you who hail from Uganda, it's now rampant all over the place. You hear somebody has gone. Last week, we lost many people, including Pastor Thomas Kula, husband to Pastor Imelda Namatevi. Many men and women of God. Many of our friends, many of our brothers. You know what I'm talking about. But we pray that the Lord God reigns in Jesus' mighty name over this pandemic in the name of Jesus. So for some people, in that season, this is what the preacher says, for everything there is a season and for a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born. A time to die. A time to plant. A time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, a time to cast away, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to tear, and a time to sow, a time to keep silent, and a time to speak. This is what he says in verse 11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Everything is beautiful in its time. And in all that, he has opened our hearts and he has placed eternity in our hearts. There's eternity in you. There's eternity in me. Hallelujah. That's why our lives do not stop here. There's eternity in you. Ladies and gentlemen, the flow of time is directed by God, its owner, who appoints particular times within his unfolding purposes. Everything must align to his purpose in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. So we have seen that, number one, time does not belong to us, it belongs to him. Secondly, if it does not belong to him, then what are we doing with time? We are stewards of time. We are stewards of time. He has given us a gift of time. Time is a gift. Every second that you breathe is a gift. Every second that you're breathing is a gift. Right now, there are people who are suffering and they want oxygen right now. But you're breathing on your own and you take that for granted? Don't. Every nanosecond that you are breathing is a gift from God. Time is a gift from God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Some people are celebrating birthdays. That is time added. How are we to handle that time? In service or in passing by? Can we afford to throw away time? Can we afford to waste time? Listen, we need to value time. Somebody say, I need to value time. Yeah. You need to utilize it very, very well. Why? Number one, because time is of utmost value. Time is the most valuable thing that you will ever have on earth. Why? Because time alone is irreplaceable. Time alone is replaceable. But we thank God he has got a way of bringing it back to us. Hallelujah. But don't waste it. Don't waste it. Somebody said that, time is like a sand pile. When we run our fingers through it, it is gone. It is here, it is gone. A few minutes, I looked at the clock and it was 12:12. But now it's 12:19. Time is gone. Time is gone. Some of you are looking at your clocks and saying, when is he finishing? Time is going. Jesus valued time. This is what he said in John chapter 9, verse 1 to 12. He says, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is still day. While it is still day. When I still have the time, I must work the works of him who sent me. When I can still breathe. When I am still youthful. That's why he talks about us being, he said, remember the Lord in your younger days. Because the time is coming when you can't lift a leg. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is the time. The time that you have is now. Now. You do not have tomorrow. That's why Jesus Christ said, do not waste your time worrying about tomorrow. Because what? Why? Because tomorrow will take care of itself. Some of us are so worried about tomorrow that it's like we are dead today. We're not enjoying today. Enjoy today. Enjoy the minutes enjoy this moment that you have. Thank God in this moment that you have. Yes, you may not have that. Yes, you may be in pain, but you are still alive. You are still alive, my friend. Hallelujah. Do not waste time. Time is a miracle. It's a daily miracle. We know, Lord, send me a miracle. He's saying, you already have one. By the very fact that you even opened your mouth to ask me, that is a miracle because you are here. Every morning, my feet hit the ground as I wake up from bed. I just say, Lord, thank you for a miracle. Thank you for this miracle. And I am going to leave it to please you in the name of Jesus. This is the day that you have made. I am going to rejoice and be glad in it, because you have given it to me. It is a gift. I receive it. Don't squander time. Somebody said, why? Because that's the stuff life is made out of. Time. There are many proverbs, there are many maxims, there are many idioms that speak about the irreplaceability of time. You can't retrieve it. Hallelujah. There's a young man, a man called Rogers, who had these lines engraved on a huge watch, which he presented to David Rubinoff, the consummate violinist. It read, "The clock of life is wound but once." When you talk about winding clocks, some of the young people may not understand that. Anybody remember those clocks that we used to wind? Yeah. The clock of life is wound what? Once. This is not a rehearsal. Do you understand? Right now, you are not in a rehearsal. When we are going to wed people, we call them for rehearsal. Come and let's run through how the service will run. That is a rehearsal. These guys who are singing here today, yesterday they were here for a rehearsal. In life, there's no rehearsal. That is why you cannot waste any time that God has given you. It's not a dress rehearsal. This is it. This is it. The clock was wound what? Once. He says, and no man has the power to tell just when the hand will stop. Like I said, there's somebody who's controlling the hand. When he says it's time for the hand to stop for Reuben, even if you pray however much you want, because he is the one who determines it, he will stop it. And let me tell you, for every one of us, let me put it this way, for every chair that is occupied, there is a day when that clock will stop. What matters is, as long as it's still ticking, what are you doing with that clock, with that time? He says, now is the only time that we own. Now. Now. Somebody say now. Don't wait until tomorrow. Now. Live now. For the clock may still be there. And the clock may become still tomorrow. But for now, I have got to live. That's why I've got to value this time that I have today. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to know the value of time. You need to snatch it. You need to seize it. You need to enjoy every minute of it. The question is, how are you spending God's time? Listen, the average person spends 1 year searching for misplaced objects. 1 year. Looking for glasses. Times I look for my glasses when they are here. I put them here and I begin to look for my glasses. Where are my glasses? And people are just falling all over. They say, what is wrong with you? Are you? Is it a joke or something? Yeah, sincerely. I'm being sincere. I don't know where they are. And yet they are here. Car keys. How many of you were late today because you couldn't find your car keys? Uh-huh. They are there. Do you hear that? They say an average person spends 6 years eating and 8 months opening junk mail. I've never seen a country where they are very proficient at queuing. In this country, in Africa, there's nothing like queues. Somebody said we spend 5 years waiting in queues. Waiting in queues at the bank, at the post office, in stores, at restaurants, you know. If you were to live 75 years, how would you spend, or how would you invest, or how would you steward God's time? Let me give you some numbers here. I think Ronnie gave us a few numbers. He says, if we live 75 years, this is how we would normally spend it. 23 years would be sleeping. 19 years working. 9 years of that time you would be spending watching TV and other amusements. 7.5 years or 7.5 years in dressing and personal care. There are some of us here who never get out of the bathroom. You get out of the bath, you get into the bathroom, it's like the sink has swallowed you in the bath. You get into, now you come out of the bathroom into the dressing room and you put on all the clothes in the wardrobe. How many of you did that, ladies here? You changed from one dress to another. All of them here, I know. 6 years eating, 6 years traveling. Now listen, how would spend that time in the presence of God? Listen, in 1 week, if you are 1 week, in 1 week, if you are spending how many? How many hours do we spend in church on a Sunday, on average? On average, 2 hours. Two. Yeah, that's if you come early. Two. So, that means that in 1 week, 168 hours, which is 1 week, only 2 hours were spent on God. For some of us who appear only on Sundays, you don't even pray, you don't even do nothing at home. In 1 month, that means you have spent 700, 1 month has got 720 hours. That means you have spent only 8 hours in the presence of God in 1 month. Out of 720 hours, how many hours have you spent before God? Eight. In 1 year, which is 8,760 hours, you will have spent 96 hours in the presence of God. Now let's be generous and add in some time of devotion. 30 minutes per day, evening and morning. That is 30 times 7, 210 minutes. So in 1 week, which is 3 hours and 30 minutes, you will have spent, 210 minutes in the presence of God. So the total hours spent in a day, or rather in a year, in the presence of God, you know how many of those will be? 96 hours per Sunday plus 168 devotional hours. That means you have spent, in a whole year, you have spent 264 hours in the presence of God. 200 and what? 40 hours. Divide that by 24 hours a day. How many days are those? 11 days. In a year. Isn't that quite, mind-boggling? We need to make time count. You cannot spend only 11 days out of 365 days in the presence of God. The owner of time. You can't. Somebody say, I can't. Somebody said, I have only a minute, 60 seconds in it. It is forced upon me. I can't refuse it. I didn't seek it. I didn't choose it. I must suffer if I lose it. Give account of it if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute. But eternity is in it. Just a minute. Listen. Number one, we said, time does not belong to you. It belongs to God. Number two, you are a steward of God. Number three, time is brief. And because it is brief, you and I must use it properly. We must use it properly. Hallelujah. We must use it properly. How are you using God's time? How am I using God's time? That is the question. The Bible speaks in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 16. Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus. What is he saying? Are we there? Give me a minute. it as I search it myself here. I need to make sure that we are in the right place. Mandelebo shikala bandelebost. He says, look carefully. Look carefully how you walk. Not as the unwise, but as the wise. Look what? Carefully. And verse 16, he continues to say, making the best use of time. Making the best use of time. Why? Because these days are evil. What does he say in the King James Version? In the King James Version, in verse 15 to 16, what does he say? You have it? It's there. Okay. It says, see then that you what? You walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Doing what? Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. And he speaks about, listen, that scripture does not say redeeming time. It says redeeming the time. There's a difference. A huge difference. It's not talking about the chronos only. It's also talking about the kairos. Redeeming seasons. Redeeming opportunities. There are opportunities that must not pass you by. Because once an opportunity passes you by, it may be very difficult for you to encounter that opportunity again. That is why you must be circumspect. That's why you must be wise. That's why you must be careful how you treat time or how you interact with time. What does the Amplified say? The Amplified says, look carefully when you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately. Not as the unwise or the witless, but as wise, as sensible people, as intelligent people. Why? Because you need to make the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity, because the days are evil. The days are evil. There are opportunities that should not pass you by, child of God. I don't know how many opportunities have passed you by. Anybody knows? And then he follows that verse by saying, in verse 17, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of God is. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, he says, he talks about making the best use of time as well. The time, the seasons, the chronos, the kairos, every opportunity. The great inventor who invented the bulb light, Thomas Edison, once said, opportunities often missed by most people. Why? Because it's dressed in overalls looking like work. When you look at it, it looks like hard work. Opportunity never comes, you know, showing itself. It comes disguised. It comes disguised. Somebody said opportunity comes with a placard saying work, saying hard work, and people run away from it. But if you turn around, if you walk past it and look on the other side, there's opportunity. Somebody once said, opportunity dances with those who are already on the dance floor. You need to be ready. You need to be prepared in and out of season, so that when opportunity comes, you just take it. You buy opportunity. Just like the Amplified said, you've got to buy it. Take it straight away. If you look at people who are the traders, the traders know how to buy opportunity. When everybody is seeing a dip in the market, that's when some of them are buying. They see beyond the dip.
And that's why some people make serious money. When everybody's running away, oh, the housing market is falling. Everybody is running away. But there are some people who see opportunity and they take it. They ride the wave. Hallelujah. You need to be a person who looks at opportunity and begins to decipher. Walk circumspectly. Seasons, the Kairos, do not let seasons pass you by. Like it did in the Jews in the times of Jesus. They missed the opportunity. They did not call him, did not take him as the Messiah. Even up now, they are still looking for a Messiah. And yet Messiah was walking in their midst. Do you know how many things you look at and you walk away? You just walk away from them. Just because you think they are nothing, they are trash. And the moment you walk away from them, somebody comes and sees the opportunity in them. And see the very thing that you trashed becomes valuable in somebody else's life. And the moment he lays hands on it, he makes it profitable. And you begin to say, what? There was this man who had a piece of land. And he was told that there was oil on the land. He dug and dug and dug. He dug and dug. No oil. And then he concluded there was no oil in the piece of land. You know what he did? He sold it. He said, this is just junk. He walked away. The guy who sold it just dug at a few feet and he hit oil and the rest was history. Be careful where you walk away from. Because where you walk away from, where you think that is nothing, there could be oil for you. There could be oil. Your oil could be in the field. What you needed to do is just dig a little deeper. Spend a little more time. Engage a little more. You would hit oil. Jesus Christ came in a manger. That is why the Jews missed him. For them, a Messiah had to come in a spectacular way. He came in a manger. He came as a baby. He came below their at a level below their expectation. Born in a manger. Whenever they looked at him, they would refer to him as what? As son of the carpenter. One time he said, a prophet is without honor except in their own hometown. Except in their own hometown and among their own kin or in their own house. In other places he is honored. But when it comes home, they rejected him. The Jews rejected Jesus Christ. The cornerstone was rejected. Be careful what you reject. Be careful what you reject. And they killed him. So as he was ascending or descending into Jerusalem, the Bible says in Luke chapter 19, verse 41 to 44, he looked at this city. The Bible says he looked at the city and began to weep. Jesus Christ began to cry. Why was he crying? He said, how I wish today that all of you would understand the way to peace. But now, he says, it's too late. And peace is hidden from your eyes. Verse 43. Before long, your enemies will build ramparts against your walls and encircle you and close you on you from every side. They will crush you into the ground and your children with you. Your enemies will not leave a single stone on a place. Why? Because you did not recognize when the Lord visited you. In other words, they missed their visitation. Do not miss your visitation this afternoon. Do not miss your visitation in this season. Do not miss your visitation in this dispensation. Do not miss your Kairos moments. Just because you are looking at things with the physical eyes. When you look at things with the physical eyes, you miss them. You miss them. You miss them. You miss the value that is in them. You miss the opportunity that is behind them. Because for you, you have got your own expectations of the way things should appear. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have an expectation of what a singer should be. You have an expectation of what a pastor should be. You have an expectation of what a husband should be. You have an expectation of a wife, what a wife should be. There are many people who have walked away from their would-be husbands or would-be wives because they looked with the physical eyes. They missed the season. The Bible speaks of the children of David's men.
In 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32,
the Bible speaks of the tribe of the children of Issachar.
Can we have that? 1 Chronicles 12, 32. What does he say?
Of the children of Issachar, who had understanding of times. They had understanding of Kairos. They had understanding of Kairos. In these seasons where we are, do we have an understanding of what is going on? Right now, right here. Yes, there's a wave of the pandemic, but what is God saying at such a time as this? What is going on at such a time as this? They had understanding of times, and because they had understanding of times, they knew what they ought to do. If you know what time it is, you will know what to do, and therefore you will not waste time on things that are not profitable, because you have got understanding of what the time is. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, you will maximize every opportunity. You will milk every minute that the Lord has lent to you. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. Make the most of the time that the Lord has given you. Somebody will say, I have no time. I have no time for this. You don't know how busy I am, Pastor. I have no time for that. I have no time for that. You have no time? Listen, what you love, you will find time for. What you love, you will find time for. What do you love? These days, what do you love? Because what you love most is consuming your time. And is what you love today taking you to another level? Is what you are in love with today, you know, elevating you to a higher level? Is it helping you? Or is it just a time waster? For some of us, there are some people we've got to walk away from because they are time wasters. There are things you've got to walk away from because they are time. You love them. You need to reevaluate what is taking most of your time in this season as a good steward of the time of God. Hallelujah. Somebody said, you will never find time for anything. If you want to do something, you've got to make the time. Do you understand? You've got to make the time. There's no time for anything. It's not there. It's not there. It's time for this. You yourself has got to allocate the time. You have no time for meditation. You have no time for prayer. You have no time. You have time for all other things. But you need to reevaluate what is the most important in your life. Choose to invest God's time wisely. Time is what we want most. And yet, it is the thing that we mishandle the most. Ladies and gentlemen, what am I trying to communicate today? That we need to make the time count. Make every minute count. Look, I need you to, God needs you by the time you hit the pillow, your head hits the pillow, you need to congratulate yourself for a day well lived. Do you understand what I'm saying? You need to have moved. If you have got, if you have a roadmap, you need to have moved. You need to have made advances on that roadmap. If you are still in the same place, you woke up in the morning and you are on the couch, just changing channels, eating popcorns and eating whatever you are eating, you know, and it's midnight, you have not moved an inch. You have wasted valuable time. And let me tell you, a time is going to come. Just like the talents, the master expected returns. He expected faithfulness. A time is going to come. The Bible says, we must all give an account of ourselves to God. You are not going to account for my time. You're going to account for your own time. He's going to ask you, what did you do with the time that I gave you? Why are you still breathing? Why are you still breathing? Counting time is not nearly as important as making time count. You're counting years. I'm now 55. What have you done in 55 years? Now is the time to reevaluate. Some of you are hitting, you are crossing over 20 to 30. What have you done with the time God has given you? What do you plan to do with the time that you still have? Hallelujah. You need to fill it with utmost ability. You need to fill it with utmost capacity. Is anybody listening to me this afternoon? What if we had to pay for time? Ask yourself, what if you had to pay for time? How would you live it? Would you live differently? Would you? You park a car somewhere, thank God our parking here is free. But if you parked at a meter, you've got to pay and display. Just imagine if we had to pay for time. There's a philanthropist called Andrew Carnegie. He wanted to pay for time, to pay for more time. In fact, he put aside $200 million to pay for time, that he may live longer. Time cannot be sold. There's a time management called Antonio Herrera. He was in a seminar and he asked his participants, says, if we are to buy time, would there be a difference in how you'd spend it? Would the days of your lives be used more wisely, he asked. What if you had to pay in advance £100 an hour for the time allotted to you? Would you waste it? You would not waste it. You know why? Because you would begin to value it. Now, begin to put, to attach a value to every minute, to every hour. That's why, you know, you are not, some people put, attach a value to your hour, to your time. That's not who you are. They say you are worth seven pounds an hour. They say you are ten pounds an hour. That's not who you are. That's, you know, you are worth more than that. Do you believe that? You are worth more than 7 pounds, worth more than 20 pounds, worth more than 100 pounds. Put a value to your time. Attach a value to your time and you will not waste it. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. So we're going to ask God this afternoon to make us men and women of understanding. Men and women who were like those children of Issachar, who had understanding of the times. They had understanding of the chronos. They also had understanding of the kairos. They knew what time it was. And because they knew what time it was, they knew what they ought to do. Somebody in this place, you know what you ought to do. There are some things that have been wasting your time. You know what you ought to do. Decide this afternoon and say, I'm going to change. Decide and say, I'm going to adopt some habits and some behaviors to make the time that I have left count. Determine and say, I am determined to be a better steward of God's time. Because I realize that time is an invaluable asset and should be spent wisely. Some of you are going to start reading the word more. Pray more. Find time to fellowship. Find time to pause and fellowship. Find time to eliminate things and other people that, you know, waste your time. Jettison the behaviors and the habits that make you an unfaithful servant or unfaithful steward of the time of God. Find the time to serve better. Find the time to live better. Find the time to invest better. Are you listening to me? Close those eyes where you are. I need you to be serious with this. Just journey into your life in the past few weeks, in the past months. What has been stealing the time that God has given you? You know that during this pandemic, some people have made money, some people have written books, some people have written songs, some people have advanced. What have you done during this, in the lockdown? Is there anything that you can show that you did, that you have done, you advanced from one place to another? I How do you spend your day? Are there things in your day that you could eliminate? Are there things in your day that you could just, you know, put on the, you know, on hold and say, you know, never again? Some of us don't even have time to think. Time to think. If you are not thinking, then there's a problem. You need to have time to think, to meditate. If you're not, we don't have time to think. We are on a rat race. You are jumping out of the house, going to work and coming back. You do not have time to think. Schedule time to think. Schedule some time to reevaluate your day, to reevaluate your month, to reevaluate your week. Schedule that time. Meditate. At least an hour a day. Find a soft space, a quiet place, and sit in that place and think. Let me tell you, great men are thinkers. Most of the people that, you know, some of us have spent time watching all these TV and all those shows. The people who made those shows thought. They put in their effort, and you waste your time on them. By the time the day is gone, you ask yourself, what you have watched movie to movie, series after series. And these days Netflix came, YouTube came, all those, you know. By the time you realize the day is gone, it's time to arise and redeem the time. Let's buy back the time. The Amplified says you need to buy every opportunity. Buy back the time. The things that have been wasting your time, take them away, because you are a steward of the time of God, of God's time. Wasteful conversations. You spend hours on the phone, not talking ideas, talking about people. They are the people, you know, you are the only holy one. The rest of them are just sinners. They are going to hell. The people you are talking about, they are busy advancing. Stop that. Put your time to use. Make the best use of the time that has been allotted to you, and you will succeed. Hallelujah. And you will advance. Hallelujah. And you will gain more. Hallelujah. In the name above every other name. And when the master comes, when you appear, because the time is going to come, when we'll step out of time into eternity, where God is. And once we step out of time into eternity, the very first question you ask, how did you spend your time that you had? Stand on your feet where you are. I don't know how old you are. You may be 10, you may be 12, you may be 13, you may be 50 like me, you may be 60, but there's still time to redeem time. Hallelujah. There is still time to redeem time. There is still time to put time to use in the name of Jesus, to better use. Put your time to better things in the name above every other name. I know you work hard. I know you are a very busy person, but find time for you. Find time for God. Find time for the people around you. Find time. Make the time. Make the best of the time that you have. Invest it, because it's not yours. It belongs to God. And once we are better stewards of the time of God, we are going to make advances for God. We are going to make advances in our own personal lives. Make time for that book. Make time for that song. Make time for that project. Do you know how many projects are on hold in this place? Many projects are on hold because you say you don't have time. Go back and dust those plans and go back to them. Just one step at a day. You don't have to take gigantic steps. Just give it one day, 1 hour a day. Look at the plan of the house that you have. Pull it out every day. Just give it an hour and think about it. Pray about it. Just an hour. Now there's something called, what is it called? This thing of putting things off. Procrastination. That one, If you are that kind of person that you are procrastinating, putting things off, lift up your hands. I need to pray for you in the name of Jesus. No, there's no shame about this. Myself, I'm a procrastinator, and every one of us here is a procrastinator in one way or another. So just stop playing holy here. You need the grace of God to just do it. Just begin to do it. Like I said, you don't have to take gigantic steps. Just baby steps. One step at a day. One step a day. One step a day. Give it 1 minute, 1 hour a day. Do you understand? 1 hour. It may look like, let me tell you, nobody has ever eaten an elephant in just one go. You eat it bit by bit. Bit by bit. You give it an hour. An hour a day. That's why Jesus Christ had an issue with the people who did not pray. He said, you cannot even pray for just an hour. Give it an hour. Find an hour for you. Find an hour for God. Find an hour for the people around you. And you will advance. That's why in most cases, we spend our lives, and at the end of the day, we have achieved nothing. The only person that has gained from us is our bosses, the people that we have worked for. When the rat race, there's nothing that shows for us. We refuse that in Jesus' mighty name. We will go to work that we may have some money and pay bills, but we are also going to pause and give time, bring by time away from the things that are wasting it. Do not watch too much TV. Now there are phones. Every time you're on the phone, come on. When will you advance? When will you pray? When will you read the word of God? When will you plan? When will you think about the next step? Do you know what? You cannot just live in the now here. I know that tomorrow will take care of itself, but you need to plan. You cannot plan if you don't see time, if you don't have the time for you to sit in a quiet place and think. We break that spirit in the name above every other name. The spirit of procrastination is a spirit of laziness indeed. We break it in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. It is a time robber. It steals our time. We break it in Jesus' mighty name. Mandelebo, Zikala, Bandelebo. Somebody once said that the rich, you know, the richest place, you know, the most wealthiest place on earth. Somebody said it's the graveyard. Because there are many dreams are dead and buried. Do you know how many dreams are in this place right now? If every one of us put those dreams to use, we would be millionaires here. But the enemy knows it, and he puts that servant mentality into you that you can't even sit to think. You don't have the time. You can't redeem time for you to think and advance away from that thing that you are doing every other day, that clockwork, that chronos. You are just in the chronos, in the chronological time. Oh, it's 11 o'clock. I need to go to bed because I have got to wake up at 4. That's what you're only thinking about. When will you think about the kairos, the moments, the opportunities? When will you think about them? You know, here we don't just equip you with the spiritual. We've got to equip you even with the things that will help you here. Get out of the rat race. That's how we are. 4 a.m., 5 a.m., go to work, come back, 7 a.m., tired, kick off the shoes, microwave the food that you cooked on Sunday, and then watch TV, and then the same, go back again the same morning. By the time you wake up, the year is gone. Am I talking sense here? I am not, you know, condemning you for being busy. No, I am saying buy back some time for you. For God. Some of us can no longer serve God. Some of us can no longer even read the word. Don't even have time to pray. Come on. Buy back the time. Get down from today. When you go back home, find a quiet place and begin to reevaluate your time. How do you spend your week? If there are things that are stealing your time, take them out. If there are people that are stealing your time, take them out. Remove them. Remain with the things, the activities, and the people that are taking you to another level, that add value to you. Why? Because time is the most valuable thing. And if you lose it, you may never get it back. But this evening, this afternoon, God is giving us the time, the honor, to buy back some opportunities in the name of Jesus. Because he said that he will give back the days and the years that the cankerworms ate, the locusts ate. So what are you going to do when he brings back those opportunities? The question is, what are you going to do with the time that you have left? Think about that. Lift those hands to the Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the time that you've given us. We thank you for the gift that you've given us in time. And Father, Lord, King of Kings, we know that, Father, Lord, we are in Chronos, but we also need to know that our Kairos moments, my Father, Lord, that we must never miss any opportunities, my Father, Lord. Much as we are gearing towards using our time wisely, my Father, Lord, may we be men and women who sense the Kairos moments, who sense the seasons, my Father, Lord, who sense when the time is to take that risk, to take that leap in the name of above every other name. May we have that understanding that was in the children of Issachar, who knew who had the understanding of times and knew what they ought to do. May we know what we ought to do in every nanosecond that you give us, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. May we have time for you. We are buying back time for you. We are buying back time for the word. We are buying back time for ourselves. We are buying back time for our projects. We are buying back time for our businesses. We are buying back time in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. We are redeeming the time, not by power, but by your spirit, my Father God. I break the spirit of procrastination, the spirit that keeps pushing, pushing things down the road. I will do it tomorrow. And we never do them. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, we break that spirit of ourselves in Jesus' mighty name. We are men and women of action. We act. Because we know that time is brief. We give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. Make us men, women, boys, and girls who are good stewards of your time. And once all is said and done, we'll bring back the glory to you. Because we ask all this through the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And somebody shouts amen, and amen, and amen. Hallelujah. You may give me a clap offering.
Thank you so much for listening to this sermon, and I know you've been blessed. For more information about Shiloh Tabernacle and other sermons, please visit our website www.shiloh.org.uk. And don't forget to follow us on all our social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Shiloh LDN. Once again, that's at Shiloh LDN. You've been listening to Shiloh Tabernacle London, changing lives, building dreams. Until next time, God bless.